Very thankful to be here this morning, and I've really enjoyed the meeting so far. I hope you have too. I have a thought that the Lord has been burdening me with, and kind of thought that it would be an evening service, but the Lord been talking to me this morning about it, and I feel like this is the right time for it, and I would really appreciate your prayers. I need them. Got a thought about our value. How much are you worth? Do you know? I think a lot of people think they're really not worth anything. And there are some people that think they're worth quite a lot. And the truth is that the answer is that both of those are true in a sense. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. But, and so, when we don't have God in our lives, there's not really anything of any profit in us, but there's potential. I'd like to turn to Exodus and read some words that God told His people. And then we'll turn over to 1 Peter and read a similar verse. He said in Exodus 19 and 5, he said, Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Amen. And He had several different expressions like that in the Old Testament where He told the people how they were His cherished possession. Something I value very highly. Something that, I think there's another scripture, I didn't write it down, but He said, a vineyard of red wine, I the Lord do keep it. I water it every day. It's something that I cherish. It's not something that that I just tolerate, but it's something that is the apple of my eye. I think that's somewhere in there too. But in 1 Peter 2 and 9, we have a real similar scripture. And He said, but ye are a chosen generation, an holy nation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You know what that word peculiar means? It means a purchased people, God's private possession, is something that He values very much. That you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So, who does He feel that way about? Who does He want to be included in this group of people that He considers to be His prized possession? Over in Exodus, it said, if you'll obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth was mine. We know that God made a covenant with Abraham, didn't He? And there were times that the people would rebel and the descendants of Abraham, and then God would say, I remember my covenant with Abraham. I'm going to have mercy on this people. There was something to do with a covenant that He had made with Abraham. Well, now we have the time, we're in the dispensation of Jesus Christ. And It's opened up to everyone. God said in Mark 16, 15, we won't turn there, but he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And I'll just read a couple more verses here without turning to them. In 2 Peter 3 and 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And in Hebrews 2 and 9, it says that Jesus, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And so we can see that it was in God's mind for every person to be able to be a prized possession to Him. If we go to Ephesians 5, we read this verse a lot. We read these verses a lot in connection with how husbands and wives should treat each other. But it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." Well, my own body, I tend to try to take pretty good care of it. I'm not going to, when I go down to my shop, I put shoes on because I don't want a nail poking in my foot, and that kind of thing. When I go and mow and it's real hot out, Andrea bought me a hat not too long ago, and I'm not really a hat wearer, but I figured out that I really like wearing that hat when I mow because it keeps me from getting a sunburn. There's a care that I take for myself. And this scripture is bringing out that Jesus takes that very same kind of care for everyone that's part of his church, because they're part of him. They're members. He says that we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. I want you to know that if you're a child of God, you're of great worth to the Lord. There's a value that you have, and if you're not a child of God this morning, there's something that God wants to do for you. There are things that he put in you. I think there's a scripture that says that when one member suffers, we all suffer. That every one of us are members in the body. There's not any of us that are second class citizens. We're all first class. We're all of incomparable value. We have a value, a potential, a worth, something that the Lord sees in us that maybe sometimes we think nobody sees, and maybe we don't see, but the Lord wants us to be able to shine forth out of us, and it's valuable to him. Lord help me. I've got some thoughts on my mind, and I ask for your prayers today. Well, let's read in Matthew 13 and 45. I was saying a minute ago that the scripture says that we're all members, different members. The hand, the eye, the foot, the mouth. And when one member suffers, we all suffer. I want to just say in passing that you have something that the church will suffer if you don't do that. If you don't develop that, if you don't let the Lord worry, you might not think that you have anything of value, and by yourself you do not. But when the Lord comes and makes you a new creature, you have something that's of priceless worth to God and to His church. Very valuable. Matthew 13 and 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. I think many times we tend to use this scripture in a way where the kingdom of heaven, it's something to be obtained, and we have to give up everything that we have so that we will find this. But I believe that there's a little deeper meaning to that in this scripture. Jesus purchased us with His own blood. We're not our own. And He purchased us because we are to Him a pearl of great price. All right? Is that all right? Kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. I think sometimes we look at sin the wrong way. Sin sometimes looks so... forbidden things are such a temptation, and sometimes they can be. And I think a lot of it, the flesh is strong. And we heard last night that the devil is more than a match for you and I. But the Lord wants to change our thinking, and He wants to make it easier, and He doesn't want us to live a life where we're constantly just barely holding on to victory. He wants to make it where we have a love for Him and a hatred for the wrong, and the value that we put on those things and what we understand about them is part of what keeps us from doing the things that we shouldn't do. Sometimes we look at it as something that we're not allowed to do, but it's something that there are things that are fun and things that are enjoyable and fulfilling to a certain extent, but we can't do that because we'll go to hell. I want to tell you something. God came to break us out of the prisons. All right? He never sin in the Old Testament and in the New. Sin is never represented as some sort of a viable alternative for a successful life. It's never represented as something that's glamorous, that's good in any way. It's represented as a cancer, a leprosy, a vile master that has dominion over us. Just like the bondage that people were under in Egypt. The whippings, the unfair treatment. You're going to gather your bricks. You're going to gather your own straw. You're not going to... The unreasonable... tasks that they would put on them. That's how sin is represented. And Jesus came down. He said He made Himself. He didn't... who being in the form of God counted it not robbery to be equal with God. Or actually, the translation says there is that He counted not equality with God to be held on to. But He made Himself of no reputation. And I'm not going to quote this right, but he was made in the likeness of man. He humbled himself. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why? To purchase you and I. To purchase you and I. That we have in the sight of God, you have unfathomable value to the Lord. You're worth something. It says in Malachi 3 and 16, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. Now what this verse means right here is when I prepare my prized possession. It doesn't necessarily just mean jewels as in the sense of things that flash and glitter, but it's something, this is the most valuable thing that I have. This is something that's worth more to me than anything else. And so God counted you and I as His most prized possessions. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. There are just so many scriptures. I want to read one more. Luke 12 and 6. Jesus was talking here and he said, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered." These scriptures, just reading them, there's a lot of thought that needs to be put into these to get what I'm trying to say here. I don't feel like I'm doing a very good job with it, but the Lord values you and I very highly. He said, "Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." How many? 20? 100? A million? I think that the comparison that's made here is that you're in a different class. You're worth more than any amount of sparrows or any amount of exotic animals or whatever you have. The rest of God's creation, there was something that God made that it said that it used language that He didn't use with any other thing that He made. He made all the animals, He made the trees, He made the flowers and everything, but He made all of that in creation to teach you and I who He is. But then when He created man, He did something different. It said that He formed him out of the dust of the ground. And He breathed into His nostrils the breath of life. And man became something that was totally different than anything else He had created. A living soul. And that soul belongs to God. And when Satan came and took dominion of our souls, Jesus came and bought us back. Colossians 2 and 10 says that you are complete in Him. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible because the Lord helped me to get a hold of this at a time where I didn't feel like I was worth much at all, if anything. There were times that I struggled as a young person. And I had a hard time feeling relevance where I was. I felt like I didn't really fit in with the group of young people I was in. I felt like I didn't really fit into any kind of social gathering, anything like that. But I felt like that marched to a different beat and wasn't appreciated really, and people loved me. I just didn't really sink in to me. And I remember I would go and I would try to accomplish things. And there'd be days I wouldn't hardly get anything done. And on those days, I remember I would feel so crushed and I'd feel like I'm not worth anything. I didn't accomplish what other people expected me to accomplish. I don't really have any kind of a value, and I felt like that I had to. The things that I was trying to do, I applied myself and I put all kinds of effort into it. And I said, I want to get really, really good at everything I do. But it wasn't really for the Lord. It was so that I could feel some sort of sense of value. You understand what I'm trying to say? And one day I got a hold of this scripture. You're complete in Him. And from that day, I realized that as long as I try my best for the Lord, and I seek Him, and I strive to do His will, I don't really need other people to constantly approve of me to be approved. Because the Lord approves of me. And I'm worth something. I'm first class. I don't have anything that can point back to me, but I'm worth something in God's kingdom. And I'm just as valuable to Him as somebody that has been saved 50 years and is eloquent and can pray a real moving prayer. And you know, I'm not a lot of those things. I'm not eloquent. And when I was growing up, I felt like I wasn't very good looking. And all those things. All the things that we tend to put some sort of value on. And the Lord helped me to realize that with Him, I was complete. There was nothing lacking. There were things that the Lord wanted me to move up in. But if I lived to everything I knew, the Lord was satisfied with me. Does that make sense? And so I just want you to know this morning that whether you're saved or not, you are of incredible worth to the Lord. If you're saved, then you can be used, you're complete in Him. If you're not, the Lord has something for you that He wants you to reach out and take and be His child, like we sung about this morning, I think. Or what? Well, 101, I don't remember. We sang it sometime in this meeting. I don't remember if we sung it this morning. But now I want to change direction a little bit and read in John 15. And 6. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. So he uses a metaphor that we can understand. I have a lot of trees, and I have some really beautiful trees. And it was actually on Dad's side of the property, but there was a big oak tree that I just thought was so beautiful. And I would look at that, and I guess I got it. My grandpa, Brother Leslie, he loved trees. I love trees. I love to look at them. I love well-formed trees. I like trees that are out in the middle of a field because it seems like they're wider and they spread. When they're in the woods, they grow real tall because they're competing for the sunlight and the space and air even. And in the field, they grow so round and so full. And I like to look. Well, we had an oak tree that was there close to our driveway on Dad's side of the property that was like that. And one day, and I valued that tree. I thought, wow, this is, and I would like to just look at that tree. Well, one day, a storm came through. And a big, beautiful limb was severed from that tree. Health seemed like healthy, beautiful. And without it, the tree was missing. It looked like it was missing part of it. Well, we know what happens to trees like that. Eventually, you wait long enough and they'll recover themselves and you won't even be able to tell in a few years that it was missing something. But you know what we had to do with that limb? We cut it up and we burned it. Some of it, I think, probably went in the burn pile, and I was burning wood in my house at that time, and I'm guessing that some of it went into our wood box in the house. But maybe I'll read a scripture in Matthew 13 and 40. He said, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I'll stop there. I'm going to go on in a little bit there. So hold that scripture. But there's a time, if you read in the beginning of John 15, it talks about abiding in the Lord. I want you to abide in me, and I'm going to abide in you. And I want you to bring forth much fruit. It says herein, I think in John 15 and 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bring forth much fruit. This is what He designed us to do. We are His prized possession because we shine forth His light out of us. It's something very beautiful. But it says, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. You see, while we're here, and there's opportunity all the way up until the end of our life, we are of great worth to the Lord. We have value. But the Lord gives us opportunities for our value to be realized. And He holds out the gift of salvation to us. And He holds out the opportunity to be made into a new creature. All the things that you do, all the things that hold you captive, God offers the opportunity for those things to be broken. And for you to be able to be a new creature and start shining forth things that you've never been able to shine forth before. Love. You know you can't love without the Spirit of Christ being in you. Not really. You can do kindness and you can do things, but there's not really any way for somebody to love their enemies from their heart without the love of Jesus being in them. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. When we become a new creature, we have things that will start shining forth out of us. 2 Peter talks about all these things. He said, besides all this, add to your faith knowledge, and add to your knowledge virtue, and all these things. It gives a list. I can't really quote it. And it says, for if these things be in you, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at the original, the way that that was written, it says, we read it where it says, if these things be in you and abound. And sometimes that seems like an impossible task. If you're a babe in Christ, how are those things going to abound in you? When we're a baby, we're born with all our fingers and toes and with all, but they're just undeveloped. The original says, if these things exist in you and are increasing, they start out relatively pretty small, but they start shining brighter and brighter and more, and our understanding as we grow in Jesus, those things increase more and more, and God values that. We are His prized possessions because He made us to shine forth all of His attributes. But if we get to the end of our life and we never let the Lord shine out of us, in our life, we're worth, can't put a price on it, what our value is to the Lord. But there's coming a day where our soul will still exist. And those branches that didn't abide in Jesus, didn't bring forth the fruit, are going to go from being worth an infinite amount to being worth nothing. Nothing at all. It says that they're cast forth. Men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Why you burn it? To get rid of it. It's not profitable for anything. It can't be used for anything. Can't build anything with it. You can't make it, can't do anything. You cast them forth, you take the branches and you burn them. You pile them up in a fire. I want us to get a hold of this thought this morning. It says, it back to Matthew 13 and 42. I'll start again. Maybe I'll just read this again, verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. You know, it doesn't say how long they have to be saved to do that. Jesus tells a parable about a man that hired people to work for him. Some of them came in, got up early in the morning, and worked a full day. Some of them came sometime mid-morning, some came around lunchtime, some came in the afternoon, some came in the evening. And then there were some folks that were standing around at the very end of the day. And the Lord went out and said, why are you standing idle? And they said, because nobody's hired us. And He said, come and work for Me, or shine for Me. And when they got done, they all got a penny at the end of the day. At the 11th hour, the people that had come in at the 11th hour got the same reward as the people that had worked all day. And it's because they were of just as much value to the Lord. They shall be Mine, saith the Lord, in the day when I make up My jewels. In the day that I prepare or display My prized possessions, My peculiar treasures, you have, even if you've wasted your life, even if you've gone through your whole life and you haven't done a thing that was any count, you have the opportunity, if you are listening this morning, you have the opportunity to be a most prized possession to the Lord. But you've got to take the cup of salvation. You've got to give up the things that you consider to be valuable and let the Lord robe you in something that's of infinite more value. Jesus said, whosoever shall confess Me before men, him will I confess also before My Father which is in heaven. And He said in Revelations, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before My Father and before His angels. And we also read in Titus 1 and 16 about people that profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. It's more than just saying, I know Jesus. It's more than just having a profession. When Jesus said, people that confess Me before men, He wasn't just talking about people that say, Lord, Lord. He was talking about people that have been made a new creature and shine forth the things that He put in everybody that comes and is made a new creature. You don't have to worry whether you don't have to say, you know what, I've just been too bad. I'm not able. I wouldn't ever be able to be that kind of person. I wouldn't ever be able to love. I wouldn't be able. I have addictions. I won't ever be able to have victory. I have tendencies to do this and that. And I have a bad personality. I'm disagreeable. All of those things. Jesus takes all kinds of people and He makes a brand new creature out of them. Just try it and see. Go before the Lord and say, Lord, I hate who I am. I despise who I've been. Lord, would you just make me a new creature? And you, I can promise you that you will be one of the Lord's most prized possessions. He said, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And in the if you study in the book of Revelation and several other places, we don't really have time to bring this out this morning. But remember the story of the rainbow in Genesis? It was a symbol of the covenant that God made with Noah. You know that Jesus is portrayed as the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness that would rise. And He shines forth through us, and just as a prism breaks all the light that comes through it into all the different colors, so Jesus, when He shines through us, all of the attributes that God has are meant to be displayed like a sparkling, dazzling jewel. A rainbow is made up of millions of those things. And it displays all the different colors. Well, that's how it's like in heaven. He said that the righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. This is talking about after we go into heaven and all of the jewels, the prized possessions, God is, I don't even know how it's going to be, but God talks about in Revelation there being a rainbow in heaven and the sun, if you can picture this, the Son of God shining, He still will shine through His people and all the value and all the splendor, and the whole body of Christ is represented as shining forth all of the attributes of God, just like a prism breaks sunlight into all the different colors, and you can see it. Christians ought to be the most loving, kind, generous, truthful, diligent, honest people in the world. And so I would just like for you to keep this and take it with you, that you are of incomparable value to the Lord, and you have potential. But there's coming a day that the righteous are going to shine. But people that didn't shine on this earth are not going to get to shine anywhere else. You've got to choose to shine here, to shine there. You pray for me.